You are listening to motivational quotes and inspirational life stories from real life people just like you. I'm your host, Victoria Johnson. You can learn more about me and my number one best-selling book at victoriajohnson.org. It's time to share our experiences and motivate and inspire you. So let's get started. Welcome back to the podcast, listeners. So happy to have you here again with us today. Today is going to be a little bit of a different podcast, and I'm super excited about it. It is, you know how we usually on this podcast, we talk about overcoming adversity, and a lot of times it's things that have happened in our marriage or in our childhood, even our teen years and so on, that we have overcome. My guest today overcame major adversity in her business. And I'll let her tell you that story. Now she has this super successful global social media management company. It is called debelleveglobal.com. It is debelleveglobal.com. And her name is Leanna DeBelleveaux. Welcome to the show, Leanna.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am really excited to hear what you have to share today, because I know that so many people feel like once I get my business going, once I get established, once I get 1 or 2 years behind me, then, you know, everything's going to be easy peasy. And we look at these rose colored glasses and we live in that state of when I have this or when I have that, then everything will be great. Your story is a little different than that. And can you kind of tell us how you got started and what the journey has been like?
Absolutely. So I shared with you just a few minutes ago that I never thought I would be a business owner, let alone a global marketing agency owner, right? I was a massage therapist for a doctor. He had some insurance changes and we went from making a lot of money overnight to almost nothing. He called me in his office and said, "I think you could help us with marketing." And I don't know anything about marketing. I'm brand new, but I knew that I loved the company that I was working for. And so I said, "Sure, I'm all in. What does this mean?" And he said, "Well, we need more people in the door and we have no money to do that with." So because I knew nothing about marketing, that didn't sound like such a big deal. I thought, how hard could it be? So I jumped in the deep end and I started Googling free marketing, free tools. And I started a Facebook page back then. It was a business page where you still had fans. And I created these social media sites because it was free. And it took about a year, 6 months to a year, but we started having exponential growth. And every time we asked somebody, "How did you hear about us?" It was, "Oh, I found you on Facebook," or "I connected with you on LinkedIn." All these different people coming to us from social media. It was amazing. So I stayed with him for about 4 years. We tripled in size. We grew to heights that we never expected to go to. He called me in his office one day and said, "I think that you have what it takes to do this on your own. I think you need to start your own company. People are coming to me, asking me what you're doing. And I think that you should take this, you know, kind of out on your own." So once again, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. So I said, "Sounds great." And he said, "You will always have a place to land if it doesn't work out, but just go out and try it." So I did. And within 6 months, we had gone from zero to six figures. It felt like everything that we touched was gold. Our clients were getting exponential success. We had clients referring us to clients in other countries. To date, we've served over 19 countries, and it was just amazing. And I figured out systems and processes and all of these things. But in all honesty, I was doing it on my own. I had some VAs and some virtual people, but a majority of everything fell on me. And it felt tired. Right. We started in 2010. And it was at that time that I knew I had to, you know, kind of figure something out, because we were growing so big and it was so much on my plate. And I stopped and realized what I had grown in these 8 years of just incredible alliances with amazing companies, great clients, wonderful systems. And it was something I never expected, you know, to look back and have created.
I've noticed two things in what you've told me so far. And number one is the saying yes, you know, the willingness, the saying yes. Hey, yeah. I don't know about this, but I'm going to say yes. And the second thing is having somebody behind you who truly believes in you and really boosted you into launching this great social media management company. Right. And it's so wonderful when we have those influential people along the way who are willing to just kind of push us in the direction that we need to be going. And I'm really glad that you had that opportunity. And so now you're at a place and it's 2018 and you are realizing that you need extra help.
Yes. So I'm a big proponent of having mentors and masterminds and connecting with other forward-thinking people. I think that that's one of the keys to my success. So I went to them and I said, guys, I'm burning out. I don't know if I want to keep doing this. You know, side note, my husband and I, between the two of us, have 5 kids and a grandbaby and 3 dogs and a cat, you know, so my life is just exponentially busy. And I said, I don't think I can do this anymore. And everyone that I talked to said, you've got to get a second in command, you know? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay.
Wow. Seems very logical, right? Somebody to help you out, take the pressure off and let you kind of sit back and oversee and enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they said. You need to be the CEO. You need to be the overseer. You don't need to be the, you know, the worker bee. You've put in your time. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, what does that look like? And so we did an extensive hiring process. I had them take every test known, you know, to man, Enneagram, StrengthsFinder, Myers-Briggs. You know, I thought I had finally found the perfect counterpart to what I needed them to do. Took her in, trained her, was very clear about our goals, about our company values, about who we are as a company, what I've built everything on, and let her go. I felt like I had fully trained her. And the one piece of advice that I had been given was to not micromanage. You know, sometimes bringing in someone new that's creative, they might see things differently. They might have a different approach, and to embrace those ideas and, you know, to trust the process that I had hired the right person. They also told me, you know, be prepared for a little bit of kickback from some of your clients who, you know, are used to working with only you. You know, just keep redirecting them, keep reassuring them. So I did everything that I was told to do. Of course, clients started kicking back and, you know, something doesn't feel right. It's just not the same. You know, our results are looking different. And within a couple months, I started losing clients. People started dropping contracts. And I thought, gosh, all this just because they're not getting me, you know, I didn't feel like it was that big of a difference.
Right. So at that point, you felt like it was, you know, just kind of their preferences that were causing them to leave you.
Absolutely. You know, I handheld a lot for them. And I thought, okay, well, you know, they're just, you know, have to get used to it. Finally, a client came to me and said, look, we pulled an internal audit and the results from this ad that we placed through social media, what you guys provided and what we have are 2 completely different things. And it stopped me in my tracks. I thought, well,
yes,
something's got to be off. You know, like, let's pull our own internal thing. And when I did that, I found out that we had been aligned with a company that was less than ethical.
Mm-hmm. What a sick feeling that must have been.
Yeah, it literally, my knees felt weak and I felt like I could not breathe. Like I couldn't catch my breath. And I found out that I should have listened when our clients first started coming to me and lost almost more than half of our business, what felt like overnight. Obviously, I let this person go. But at the end of the day, it's my name that's on the company. Mm-hmm. And just mm-hmm. I can take all the accolades and I can have an amazing media bio that people read, I also am fully responsible for the poor choices that, you know, as they occur or the mistakes as they happen. And I had to go back to every one of those clients and let them know what had happened. And it was hard.
It would be hard, you know, mentally, emotionally, and also financially. So it was a major adversity in your life.
Absolutely. We were on track to hit 7 figures 2018 mm-hmm. and easily hit 7 figures profitability by the end of the year. By that summer, I would have been lucky to have hit 6 figures. That's how drastic.
Oh my.
The business turn.
Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be really hard in that position to not have it affect your personal life as well.
You know, you're right. I am very lucky. My husband is my biggest fan, my biggest supporter. He believes in me when sometimes I don't believe in myself.
Oh, that's nice to have.
And he looked at me and he said, he let me have a pity party, right? And he was pretty upset as well. Mm-hmm. But he looked at me and he said, is this how the story ends? And in that moment, I knew that absolutely this was not how it was going to end. And that's what gave me the motivation to kind of pull myself up, dust myself off, and take that next step forward.
You know, I'm really glad that you shared that, because I think everyone listening can relate to that with whatever is going on in your life right now. You know, whether it's business, whether it's personal, you know, is this how this story is going to end? Because we all do have that choice. And I know that your story will inspire others and motivate them to continue on. And sometimes we have to make a fundamental shift in what it is that we're doing. Yeah. And so for you now, I know your business is hugely successful again. So how did you make that shift and keep balance in your personal life?
It's been an amazing experience. And sometimes the darkest of the dark reveal the brightest of the light. And I say that because what I realized was it uncovered a fear in me to have to tell people that the business wasn't doing that great. I didn't tell everybody and anybody. I am now, right? A year and a half later, but you know, people expected me to always succeed. And when I got knocked down, it made me realize why I was afraid to take that next step was I was afraid of the visibility of people finding out that I had failed. And it made me talk to the people I trusted most. And we started having some amazing conversations about what it means to fail and how you can pivot that failure, your mindset around that failure, and see it as a redirection. And once I recognized that it was a redirection back onto the right path, it allowed the business to start coming again. And I started speaking about having the courage to fail. So many people are afraid to fail. Whether you're 10 years into your business, 10 days into your business, taking that leap of faith with the knowledge that failure exists can be, you know, debilitating sometimes. So I started talking to more and more people about what it means to be this successful and still fail. Mm-hmm. And now I'm speaking internationally about that. There's so many people that are like, yes, people need to hear that it's okay to fail and that nothing magical happens when you hit six figures. I wish I could say that it does. Nothing magical happens when you hit seven figures. You're still the same person. You know, you still face the same insecurities or the same trials or the same fears even.
Mm-hmm. But I can see that. You know, I've never really thought about it that way. But for me as an entrepreneur myself, you know, when I think about my insecurities and my fears, my what if, you know, what if I don't sell enough tickets to an event, or what if something that I do isn't successful? Why would it change if I'm talking about $100 or $100,000? Those same insecurities and fears are going to be there, especially as long as I'm hiding from them.
Exactly. If you see them, acknowledge them, and take that first step forward towards them, you move past them and then you grow through them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I want to share with our listeners a quote, a really nice motivational quote from Eckhart Tolle. Of course, he is an author and a speaker himself. And it is, surrender to what is. Say yes to life and see how life suddenly starts working for you rather than against you. So the part that really strikes me in this with your story is surrender to what is. And it would have probably been pretty easy to hide behind the other person's misleading or unethical work and not take the responsibility for yourself. But you were really vulnerable and you really showed up as someone who said, hey, listen, this happened. I take responsibility and we're going from here. And like you said, pivoting that mindset into the redirection, I think is so powerful, that knowing that when we say yes to life, when we surrender, that, you know, that redirection is often far better than anything we could have even imagined.
That's 100%. And the other, when you read me that quote, the other part that stuck out to me was, you know, when life is happening for you. And I sat in the pity party and I said, why is this happening to me? Why, you know, I did everything right. I followed all these checklists. I listened to all these people that I respect. Why is this happening to me? And then I started asking, why is this happening for me? And I've now been given the opportunity to get in front of thousands of people who are struggling with the fear of failure. And my failure allows me now to speak to others. And that's why I believe that this happened for me. It was hard and it hurt and it was embarrassing and any other negative feeling you want to attach to this, right? But yes. In the end, it has given me a platform on which to speak and to help others move past failure that I wouldn't have been able to do before because I wouldn't have the personal experience at that level. Mm-hmm. And so now I don't want it to ever happen again, but I can appreciate the rewards that have come from the adversity.
So are there some tips that you can give to our listeners on moving past failure?
Absolutely. So I do this whether, and trust me, like I said, we have five kids. I fail at parenthood every day. I fail at being a wife sometimes. I feel it, you know, fail at so many aspects. So this is what I do not only in business, but in every aspect of my life is when I feel that I've failed or something's not going well, I take out a blank sheet of paper, make a line down the middle, and on the left-hand side, I write down every single thing that went right. I write down the title of the email was good. The title of, you know, I sent it to the right group. You micromanage how much, you know, you list every little detail that went well. On the other side, you write down what didn't go well. Mm-hmm. And what you'll find is that you've got 200 things that went well and 4 things that didn't go well. And you can focus on those 4 things. If that makes sense.
Why do we do that?
I think it's our human nature to focus on the things that don't go well. And what you can do is I take those 4 things mm-hmm. and then I make systems around it. How do I ensure that these 4 things don't ever happen again? Or if they do, they don't happen to the same level or to the same extent. And once you get it right in front of you that a majority of it went well and a portion of it didn't, you can stop beating yourself up. You can stop the negative self-talk. Because when you say, I totally screwed this up, you have proof right in front of you. No, you didn't totally screw it up. You got 4 things wrong, mm-hmm. right? Or you could have done 4 things better. And it makes it less personal. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of go ahead. You've got to acknowledge it, right? Okay, these didn't go well. But now you can feel empowered because you have a plan to ensure that it doesn't happen again. And then it's not so hard to take that next step.
That makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, I like what you said about making systems around what didn't go well so that it doesn't happen again. And I remember reading somewhere, you know, if you're afraid of the failure, to think about, okay, what could possibly go wrong? And if it does go wrong, what would be the consequence? Mm-hmm. And how can I prevent it? And I can find that's very powerful even before the event. You know, what could go wrong and what would happen if it did? Because I think a lot of times we awfulize a situation where we think that if it goes wrong, it's the end of the world. When really, if it goes wrong, maybe 10 people are going to notice. You know, you know the relevance. You understand what I'm saying there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that for me as a parent as well, I could apply that to my personal life as well as my business life.
Yeah. And I think as unfortunately, a lot of times as women, we allow the negative self-talk to continue so much further mm-hmm. than it ever should, mm-hmm. that it stops us. If we fail in one aspect of one thing in our day, we allow it to cloud everything else around us. And it's really important that we can identify that and find a way to put an end to that so that we can move forward in all aspects.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I'm really glad that you brought attention to the fact that when we feel like we failed at something, like you said, maybe we did 30 things right and 4 things wrong. Mm-hmm. And to really put that into perspective, I'd like your feedback on something that I had happen recently. It was a lesson for me. I do public speaking events as well. And I often do, you know, a little survey at the end, of course, because I want to have that feedback, but I want it in a kind way.
Right.
And so I recently did an event and I was on just such a high. It was just so amazing. And people had wonderful breakthroughs. And it was just like, you know, a 10 out of 10 experience. And So that night I'm sitting in my hotel room and I'm reading through the feedback sheet and they're all, you know, this was great. I loved it. I would totally come again. This is wonderful. And then there was one lady who said, you interrupted people. And I thought that was rude. And so in my mind, I just instantly pushed back and thought, well, I'm a facilitator and sometimes I need to interrupt people. And, you know, I got up on my high horse and was defensive and then I couldn't sleep and it took away all my joy. So how do we prevent our joy being stolen from those four things that we feel like we did wrong or that are invoking fear in our lives and stealing our joy?
Being in the public eye is so, you're so vulnerable. Right. So I felt that when you said that, like my heart just sank, like I knew what was coming. And my heart sank for a moment. But then I realized when stuff like that happens to me, I ask myself, are these people in the arena with me?
Oh, thank you.
Are these people fighting in the arena with me or are they up in the stands? If they're up in the stands watching, then they don't get a right to have an opinion on what I do. I typically find if people are in the arena fighting with you, if they're also entrepreneurs, if they're also pursuing their dream, if they're also being brave and strong and fighting, you know, they're going to be very delicate with how they give you feedback because they're going to understand how much of your heart is in it.
Yes. So
I'm going to guess that whoever gave you that feedback was watching in the arena.
Yes. You know what? I don't know too much about her personal life, but I suspect that's true. And if people are wondering what we're talking about with the arena, it's something that Brené Brown speaks of in her books. And that is, you know, when we're out there, when we're showing up, when we're being vulnerable, when we're being courageous, we are in the arena. And so often, like I did, we let the people who are in the nosebleed seats steal our joy. And when we're out there and we're putting our whole hearts into it and we're showing up, that perspective of the four things, like you said, that perspective is critical. So that was a great tip to share with the listeners. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. No problem.
I want to just share again your website because I think it's really important that people know what it is that you do. There is so much busyness in the social media world. I know for myself, trying to keep on top of everything and do the right thing or even have a clue if what I'm doing is making an impact takes a lot of my time and energy and creative strategy. So check out this website because there are great choices here for taking some of that responsibility off your plate and getting better results. So the website again is debelleview.com. So you pronounce that debelleview.com. And your email is Leanna, so it's Leanna at debelleview.com. So can you share with us what you think, you know, maybe one of your greatest victories has been now that you have overcome that adversity and you're out speaking and you're finding new things that you're enjoying doing. What do you think the greatest reward has been for the lesson and the vulnerability?
Wow, that's a great question. My gratitude journal is getting, you know, fuller and fuller by the day because I think every day brings a new opportunity to kind of use this platform. But I think the greatest reward so far has been letting people know that, especially those just starting out, that those of us who have become established in business are still human. It's so easy, especially on social media, you're looking at everyone's highlight reels. It's easy to feel overwhelmed or unworthy or scared, but to have someone who has become established be transparent in that. And to be honest, a lot of my colleagues have said, why would you be this transparent? You don't need to be. It's because it gives those people who may be nervous to take that next step, the courage to take that next step. And it's not a responsibility that I take lightly. And it's an honor and a privilege when I can be on anybody's platform to have these kinds of conversations. So thank you for allowing me to share my story and to be this vulnerable and to be this transparent with you and your listeners.
Well, I appreciate you being here. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying is that when we tell our truth and we show up authentically. We do give other people permission to do the same, and we show them that it's okay. It's okay to succeed. It's okay to fail. It's okay to stumble. It's okay to run fast. All of those things, it's all part of the journey. Absolutely. So thank you again for being with us, Leanna. I really appreciate everything that you had to say.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Alrighty. So thank you, listeners, for joining us again. And thank you, Leanna, for being here. It is debellevueglobal.com. Check it out. You're going to love what she does. Thank you for joining us today. It is my true desire that you have been inspired and felt a sense of connection with the words being shared. If you have an inspirational story to share on how you have overcome adversity and created an exceptional life, please visit my website, victoriajohnson.org. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.